The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years' experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
When Texas closes their border with barbed wire and people start to reexamine sanctuary cities, it doesn't mean that the influx has stopped. We're having some record-level entries, illegal entries at the San Diego border in Southern California.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. And that's Dr. Victor Davis Hanson, the Wayne and Marcia Buskey Distinguished Fellow in History at Hillsdale College, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, and also author of the upcoming book, The End of Everything, How Wars Descend into Annihilation. We talk in depth with Dr. Hanson today about two recent essays about American culture. Dr. Hanson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Look forward to our talk today, and also look forward to talking soon when The End of Everything is released. We talked today about a couple of your recent writings, one at American Greatness called A Culture in Collapse, and a recent column, American Paralysis and Decline. In that piece, you begin by telling us about the Roman Republic reaching this point where the very idea of what was needed for restoration, the hard medicine, and the reaction to it made it impossible to save the patient. Here we are today talking about Cookie Monster and shrinkflation and perhaps arguing of parsing polling data. When must we, is it too far to get to the point where we return to serious discussions about our republic?
Well, pretty soon. And I quoted the historian Livian. He continues on with the analysis that the problem is, it's not just that you think the medicine is more dangerous or more discomfort, brings more discomfort than the disease, but the violation of norms has led to a unsustainable but enjoyable affluence, leisure. And people know that that can, like an addiction of some type of habitual drug or something or activity, they know it can't continue, but it's very enjoyable while it can. And then they pass off the consequences to either another generation or to some other people. So I think here in the United States, this $1 to $2 trillion deficit, $35 trillion national debt. We all have a pretty comfortable living, but we know that it has to be paid off or at least has to be reduced. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, I think, is true with the border. We all say, well, 8 million people coming through hasn't affected me. I don't see it because we're 330 million people. But we realize that it's a non-sustainable project. And yet the effort to say, close the border or we've got to cut federal spending would earn you a lot of invective that people just don't want to put up with.
On the topic of the border, Dr. Hanson, you say we're paralyzed in fear. A theme throughout this piece is a lack of action. Isn't the recent activity, the decision by Governor Abbott in Texas to bus some of those migrants to sanctuary cities and sanctuary states across the country, a testament to what a difference even a little action can make on a subject like this?
One, if not one of the two of the top issues in most states. And it's about going, the polls are running 80% against the president. People do not want an open border. So he's forced to act. But I will say that when Texas closes their border with barbed wire and people start to reexamine sanctuary cities, it doesn't mean that the influx has stopped. We're having some record level entries, illegal entries at the San Diego border in Southern California. And we have a state government that is on the same page as Mr. Mayorkas and Mr. Biden, so they're welcoming. And I think we also have to reimagine what has happened. We think it's naivete or nonchalance or carelessness, but I think it's a deliberate policy. I think the left feels that under the new statutes in many swing states and in California as well, that we went from 30% absentee ballot to something called 70% in many states, mail-in or early voting ballots. And there's the rate of adjudication has just dropped. The ones that have improper addresses or no signatures or they don't match the registration list, those ballots have increased, and they're not being rejected the same way they should be. A lot of people feel that this is a demographic way of changing the balloting in a way in swing states in a way that the issues will not win over it here.
On the issue of the debt, we are adding $1 trillion in debt every 100 days at this point, which is clearly unsustainable. As we look at that issue, I mean, taking a first step, getting to a balanced budget before we even address the addition of additional debt, what's that first step to getting serious about the debt problem?
It's going to be resistance because Joe Biden, as you know, increased income taxes and so the state. Here in California, we pay 13.3% in the top bracket and 10% very early, and with the 38% federal and payroll taxes, Americans are paying, it's very easy to pay 55% when this is in addition to property and gasoline taxes, for example. So it has to be cutting. We're going to have to cut spending and cut the size of government and limit a cabinetcy or two. We don't need trim down a lot of the bureaucracies. And that'll be very controversial to do. And so I think most administrations will think it has to be done, but it could cause a recession or higher interest rates or I don't know what. I mean, we've used all of the stimuli that the administration usually has. That is big budget deficits, larger national debts, low interest rates. We did all of that. And we don't have any other way to stimulate the economy if we come into tough times or we create tough times by doing the necessary medicine of reducing the budget.
Talking with Victor Davis Hanson, he is Wayne and Marsha Buskey, Distinguished Fellow in History at Hillsdale College. A couple of recent essays, one at American Greatness, A Culture in Collapse, and more recently, American Paralysis and Decline. On the crime epidemic, and perhaps folding into the homelessness epidemic we see in places too, many businesses closing in San Francisco, pharmacies closing in the District of Columbia due to rampant shoplifting. When you look at the crime issue, you can perhaps point a finger at policing. You can perhaps point a finger at prosecutorial actions. Do you put more blame on one than the other?
Yeah, I think they have something in common, and it's the same thing with the border. It's this array, potpourri of critical theory, this sort of Frankfurt School, that all laws are abstractions, their absolutes are not necessary, they represent the vested interest of a exploitive wealthy class, and critical legal theory, critical penal theory, critical border theory, critical race theory, they all say that you have to really destroy the law as we know it, and then use social justice as the arbiter of whether someone should be prosecuted or not. So here in California, we're even having a law that says if you're arrested for a crime, you can appeal to social justice considerations that you're in a historically or traditionally exploited group, and therefore the charge will either be dropped or mitigated. And so, again, like the border, it's an intentional policy to remake America into sort of a revolutionary radical Jacobin democracy and not at all what our founders envisioned with a constitutional federal republic. So I think the key is that this is something that the left wanted. They may not like the popular reaction to it, or they may be afraid that the consequences of their own ideology have finally hit them personally, and they didn't have the wealth or the influence of the zip code to shield themselves from what they unleashed on others. But nevertheless, it was intentional.
Dr. Victor Davis Hanson, stand by. We'll come back and talk more about those essays in just a couple of moments. Talking with Victor Davis Hanson. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Redding.
Hello, Northern California. This is Roland from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Victor Davis Hanson is our guest. He's the Wayne and Marcia Buskey Distinguished Fellow in History at Hillsdale College. His upcoming book is called The End of Everything, How Wars Descend into Annihilation. Talking today about a pair of recent essays, American Paralysis and Decline and A Culture in Collapse. Dr. Hanson, in the Culture in Collapse essay at American Greatness, amgreatness.com, there's a section on the military, and you say that confusion reigns among the public when it comes to the Afghanistan withdrawal, when it comes to how the Biden administration handled the Chinese spy balloon, how we still are addressing or not addressing the attacks in the Red Sea. And you list this long string of unanswered questions about why these things are all happening. What does the future look like for our military after considering these choices made over the past 4 years?
They're short 40,000 troops, and when you talk to high-ranking officers, they're either afraid to be candid with you, or they will say it's because of gang activity or obesity or this generation's physically unfit, or there's a tight job market. But what they do not tell you is the debacle that you mentioned in association with testimonies from Mark Milley and Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense and the former Joint Chiefs in 2022, when they basically said they were going to look out for or hunt out or scour the ranks for so-called white supremacists. And then very meekly in December of last year, they just acknowledged there was no such threat. But the problem was that they pounded that post-George Floyd theme to such a degree that people got the message, people being the white middle class, and this is the one rubric, if you look at the actual fall off in demographics of who is not joining the military that accounts for this radical shortfall, it's primarily white lower middle class male. And yet they have been demonized, and yet there was no necessary reason for that demonization. And when you look further, it's even more scary, because in Iraq and Afghanistan, they died at respectively about 73% or 75% of all combat fatalities, and yet they only make up about 33% of the demographic. So to boil it down, for some reason, this administration went after a particular demographic, demonized it, who had been dying at twice their numbers in the general population. And then when you combine that with promotions and retentions based to a large degree on diversity, equity, inclusion criteria, you created the perfect storm that alienated these multi-generational families from continuing to volunteer for the military.
Dr. Victor Davis Hanson with us. His upcoming book, The End of Everything, How Wars Descend into Annihilation. He's also the Wayne and Marcia Buskey Distinguished Fellow in History here at Hillsdale College. On the topic of education, which is also covered in this piece at American Greatness, A Culture in Collapse, you discuss the troubles at Harvard and really throughout much of the Ivy League, and if we expand, really throughout much of higher education. As there has been a parental blowback and more parental awareness about what is happening in K-12 schools across the country, specifically in the post-COVID environment, do you anticipate perhaps a similar parental response now that some of the activities of our Ivy League institutions and just our higher education institutions in general are a little more exposed?
It's already happening with the first sign of the drop-off in donations. Where I work at Stanford University, there's been a considerable diversion of money away from Stanford by alumni to the Hoover Institution, which is considered Stanford, but not Stanford in the sense of being much more traditionalist. I think what's happened is two things. They look at that testimony of three college presidents early this year, and what they saw appalled them. And this epidemic of anti-Semitism and the suppression of free speech, unless it's politically correct. And then they see things that just shock them. Separate graduations by race, separate dorms by race, separate spaces by race on campus. Repertory admission. So this year at Stanford, as the last 3 years, only 20% of the admissions were white, even though that's a 67% demographic. And that was just a deliberate racial discriminatory policy that eliminated any chance for somebody from the middle class to get into that university on merit. So I think people are aware of this now, especially as their kids are not getting in. And they're starting to look for, you know, if one of them is a college like Hillsdale. As you know, your admissions at people applying to Hillsdale are expanding. And it's also prompting a national conversation because there's also a sin of omission, not just what they're doing, but what they're not doing. So a typical graduate is not aware of the basic fundamentals of American history or culture or civics. And when you talk to faculty in this third or fourth year of repertory admissions, they will tell you that they're forced to either inflate the grades or water down the course or introduce new courses, but they are not going to adhere to prior standards and die on the altar of merit because they will be singled out by these newly hired DEI czars as people who engage in systematic discrimination based on analysis of their grading if it doesn't proportionally represent people by race. So these universities are in free fall. I think they don't realize what they did. They awoke a sleeping dragon of the American public is very angry at.
One final question for Victor Davis Hanson with us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I ask you for a bit of projection here. If there is a second Trump administration, as you alluded to previously, and perhaps even Republican control of the House and the Senate in that situation, well, that happened under the first Trump administration, and I think most of us would say there was not enough done during that time frame. What is that thing that will spur a Republican governing majority in Washington to take meaningful action on issues like this during the time that they have the opportunity to do so?
Realization, unlike 2016 and 17, that the Republican Party does not view Donald Trump as an anathema or a aberration in the way that, say, Paul Ryan and the House leadership did in 2017, or John McCain did to stop the repeal of Obamacare. For better or worse, the Republican Party is now a middle-class, nationalist, populist party. It's not Reagan-esque, it is. But it's appealing to people of all different ethnic backgrounds and on a class basis. And I think that's new. And Donald Trump, I think, has learned from a lot of his mistakes in the first 4 years. So when you look at something like the Heritage Foundation, they're trying to compile a list of thousands of appointees that would avoid the sort of Omaroso, Scaramucci, haphazard appointment that we saw from someone who had no political experience. Mm-hmm. And then there's, of course, Donald Trump. He's older. He's had 4 years of governance that most people, according to polls, like. And so I think there's a lot more optimism that he can get something done, given there's more of his people in power than there were in 2017.
Dr. Victor Davis Hanson, Wayne Marsha Buskey, Distinguished Fellow in History at Hillsdale College, Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution, and author of the upcoming book, The End of Everything, How Wars Descend into Annihilation. Dr. Hanson, thanks for your time today. We look forward to talking to you about the new book soon here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Up next, we talk with Jay Richards, co-author of the new book, Fight the Good Fight, How an Alliance of Faith and Reason Can Win the Culture War. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, We've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hey, Redding, when was the last time you experienced Black Bear Diner? Entrepreneur Magazine recently recognized this hometown diner as a top growing national restaurant. Why? Because there's always plenty for your paws. With delicious homestyle options that deliver choice, value, variety, and a cozy way to make memories and celebrate occasions. Come on in and remind yourself what guests all over the country are discovering.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Attention adventure seekers, save the date for the 30th annual Safari Club International Banquet hosted by the Redding Chapter of Safari Club International on April 27th at the Wind River Resort Center beginning at 5 p.m. Immerse yourself in the thrill of our auction featuring guns, hunting trips, equipment, and breathtaking artwork. Get ready for games and a drawing with fantastic prizes. For more details and tickets, visit sciredding.org. Join us for an unforgettable evening of camaraderie and conversation. See you there.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Search for the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. We're joined by J.W. Richards. He's director of the Richard and Helen DeVos Center for Life, Religion, and Family, and the William E. Simon Senior Research Fellow at the Heritage Foundation at heritage.org. Also the co-author of the new book, Fight the Good Fight, How an Alliance of Faith and Reason Can Win the Culture War. Jay, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you.
This book gives action steps to bring believers and common sense Americans together. I guess I want to start by asking the question, is the ballot box not enough anymore for people who believe these things in this way? Is it required on us to do more than perhaps just vote our conscience or vote for our preferred candidates these days?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're in a different era in 2024. I mean, those of us have been involved on the economic and social issues for years, as I have. Up until about 2012, it was sort of easy to describe. I joke that, you know, if you gathered allies together, they looked a lot like the Heritage Foundation internship pool. And then I got involved in this fight over gender ideology about 3 years ago. And what I found is something entirely new in which you've got just to think of the people sort of arrayed against this. Certainly you got social conservatives, but you also have parents of no particular political or religious persuasion. You have lesbian groups. You have radical feminists. You have atheist evolutionary biologists who think sex is real and not a social imposition. That's something different that I had not seen on any other issue. And then I also noticed that a lot of people that had thought of themselves very much on the left are sort of having an awakening. They notice that, okay, well, if all my friends think it's a good idea to tell kids they could be born in the wrong body, or that a boy can be a girl, or that somebody can be neither, they're obviously crazy. And what else are they maybe crazy about? Wait, I was agreeing with them day before yesterday. What was I crazy about? What do I need to rethink? In other words, this is not an issue in which somebody changes their minds about, you know, tax policy or something. This is the kind of thing that changes people's voting patterns, but even their worldview. And I really think that that means we're in a different environment that I think is honestly an opportunity for conservatives. But it's also it's going to require us to figure out, okay, how do we make arguments with these new, these new colleagues in arms that we weren't with before?
Right. I want to ask about that. You call for an alliance of believers and then anti-woke liberals. And I think of the avatar of this, perhaps someone like Bill Maher, who is certainly a guy on the left and of the left, but on this issue has spoken with some clarity recently on his TV show and elsewhere. How do you convince those who are on the right and are in that alliance of believers to make common cause with someone like Bill Maher, who perhaps disagrees with us on, I don't know, 80-85% of other issues?
Yeah, I mean, that's half the reason for the book. It's both, yeah, I hope that, you know, say anti-woke liberals read the book, but honestly, it's written mainly for religious people, for sort of conservative Catholics and evangelicals and Jews who aren't used to doing this and so wouldn't actually even know how to make the argument. So half of it is a pitch that this is worth doing and we can do it. But it's not a matter of, you know, sort of the kind of moderate thing in which you just sort of neutralize all the kind of controversial issues. We don't argue that at all. In fact, we've got a chapter in this book about that defends natural marriage. This is how I see things, is that those of us on the right side of this issue, this gender issue, we show our credibility and our commitment to public reason and to reality by fighting against this. And so that a lot of people, maybe Bill Maher or some more people that are otherwise, you know, say slightly more flexible, we're in a different rhetorical position in which people, I think, will be willing to listen to the arguments we have on other issues that they would not have been willing to listen to, say, 5 or 10 years ago.
I wanted to ask, you know, during the COVID years, we heard this phrase, trust the science, over and over again in relation to that issue. And when it comes to something like gender ideology, is that then disconnect between the science and the ideology what is driving some toward this particular side being critical or questioning the idea of gender ideology?
Absolutely. I mean, there are plenty to say, of course, about how science was used and misused during the COVID lockdowns and battle. But in this case, it's just absolutely manifest, because unlike some complicated question about virology, or if you're talking about abortion, complicated questions about embryology, in the case of the sexual binary, everyone knows this. This is directly apparent to everyone's natural reason. You don't need specialized knowledge. You don't need a special revelation. And gender ideology denies that. It denies this really basic truth of biology, that sex is this reproductive strategy in which you have the fusion of two differently sized gametes and then two different reproductive systems that correspond to that. This is true throughout the animal and plant kingdoms. There's no third gamete, and so sex in that sense is just strictly binary. And so this is why you can have Richard Dawkins, atheist evolutionary biologist, that's just absolutely right on this. And so I think, as a Christian, I sort of think of this, and as a Catholic, I say, well, can people have access to natural reason still? It's flawed, it's broken, but look, people know that murder's wrong, and people know that they're boys and girls, and you don't need special revelation for that. That's how radical gender ideology is. So the claim that, you know, on the other side, that maybe there's some sort of evidence for this stuff, it's completely bizarre and it's laughable, so that even just a moderately educated person with a few tips can, I think, refute someone claiming to speak for science.
Jay Richards is with us. He is the co-author of the new book, Fight the Good Fight, How an Alliance of Faith and Reason Can Win the Culture War. On the issue of faith, Jay, as we look to forge these alliances or perhaps see new coalitions develop, it might be uncomfortable for some to introduce the idea of faith into this argument, and it might be not be received appropriately by those who are coming over to perhaps what we would say is our side on this issue. How do you recommend people apply faith in these matters, or perhaps step back temporarily, pull back a little bit? Where does faith enter the equation?
Well, and so what I think is, first of all, we should just be totally honest about what our own views are, but we should also be focused like a laser beam on where other people are coming from. So if I'm wanting to persuade someone, you know, on any particular issue, let's say my view of marriage, I might have some theological reasons for the view of marriage I hold, but I'm not going to make my arguments based on those if somebody doesn't share those. You want to make arguments that are based on common premises. And so that's why in virtually every chapter of this book, whether we're talking about something like marriage or something like trade or immigration, we try to model both. Okay, here's what a theological argument looks like, but here's what a natural reason argument looks like, in which you can appeal to someone without presupposing theological categories. And I think that sometimes it's for Christians in the public square, they're sort of divided on this. They feel like to make a moral argument, for instance, in the public square means to make an explicit theological or biblical argument. And the American founders knew that wasn't true. We have access to the natural law, the natural moral law. Atheists know that it's wrong to torture children for the fun of it, just as much as any Southern Baptist. And so I think it helps for people if they, to remember that. Appeal to the deliverances of reason that people have.
Jay, are people of faith and are different religions aligned on this topic, or is there still a need or also a need to preach to the choir on this topic?
There absolutely a need to preach to the choir on this topic. I mean, the truth of the matter is, whether you're Protestant or Catholic or Jewish, of course, among Catholics, there's a kind of range of views. Now, official Catholic catechism is going to be really clear about gender ideology, mm-hmm. but you might have a Catholic parish or a Catholic teacher that's just completely bought into, you know, whatever the ambient culture is. And so very often, even helping people of faith to think clearly about their own faith, that's constantly working. That's been true every time and place in which, if you're a Christian, the church, you want hopefully to influence the culture, but the culture can also influence the church in good or bad ways, in this case, in bad ways. So the argument that sort of the whole time that we make in the book is both the theology, here's how you argue this if you're thinking in theological terms, and here's how you argue this if you're just making a public argument. And I think, along with John Paul II, that faith and reason properly construed, they mutually reinforce each other. They're not in conflict.
J.W. Richards is co-author of the new book, Fight the Good Fight, How an Alliance of Faith and Reason Can Win the Culture War. That's available now. Jay, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
So great to be with you.
Up next, Dr. Jeremiah Regan, recent graduate of Hillsdale's Graduate School of Statesmanship, will discuss his dissertation on the manly virtues of citizenship in early America. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blazengame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Tired of that long drive home from Sacramento? Try Redding Regional Airport, where you can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. RDD is located just down the road. Skip the drive, enjoy quick check-ins, and travel with ease and convenience. Getting where you want to go is easier than ever with nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. Enjoy that vacation you've been dreaming about. Fly with ease and convenience from Redding Regional Airport.
Now, this
This is Carl Bott.
And Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Experience for the first time glowing wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern display at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Open select dates March 29th through May 26, 2024. Year of the Dragon. Glowing Wild will feature 10 acres of botanical gardens filled with larger-than-life Asian lantern displays of animals from around the world, plus music, animation, food and drinks, and more. Don't miss Glowing Wild at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Come.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertrand. Be sure to sign up for an email every time there's a new episode of the program. Go to radiohour.hillsdale.edu, click the subscribe button, and enter your email address. We're joined by Dr. Jeremiah Regan. He is a recent graduate from Hillsdale's Graduate School of Statesmanship. His doctoral dissertation on the manly virtues of citizenship in the early American Republic. That's what we talk about today. Dr. Regan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I enjoy listening to your show, and it's an honor to be a guest.
Oh, I appreciate it. There is a lot of scholarship, clearly, on the early American Republic and the founding. What do you think separates your recent work here from some of the existing scholarship that's out there?
The focus of my research. There is a lot of scholarship on the character of early Americans and their institutions, but few focus at length on these manly, assertive virtues that were so characteristic of the early American Republic. There's three schools of thought that I identify in my dissertation. First are those scholars who say that these virtues are not virtues at all. They're really tools of oppression. They're made for subjugating blacks, women, Indians. And so they look at these things with disapproval. There's another school that looks at the founding generally as good, but mm-hmm. focuses on institutions, focuses on the virtues of peace, things like wisdom and justice, temperance, moderation. Those were essential virtues during the founding era in the early American Republic. However, that wasn't the complete picture of virtue. There had to be these other characteristics that allowed the Americans to fight for their freedom, that allowed them to defend those freedoms and to forge a nation out of a wilderness. And that's the focus of my dissertation.
How did the founders generally understand virtue, and why did they believe it was necessary for self-government?
In general, the founders looked at virtue in a way that's similar to the ancients and to Christians. They weren't envisioning a new version of humanity. They were looking at how to apply the timeless reality and truths about human nature to their present circumstances. Virtue was necessary for human excellence and for happiness, the kind of things we see in the Declaration of Independence. To be a good man meant you had to have complete virtue. In a republic, it also allows you to keep the government small.
Mm-hmm.
The more that men do on their own, the fewer requirements they have for government. We see this in John Adams' famous quotation about the Constitution being for a moral and religious people and unsuited for any other. That quotation comes from a letter to the Massachusetts militia, in which he is praising them for asserting themselves as citizens and taking on citizen duties. That sentence comes right after a sentence in which he says, our government is unsuited to deal with the passions and the depravity that can come from human nature
mm-hmm.
unless citizens have their own virtues. This is also echoed in Federalist 55 by Madison when he says Republican government presupposes excellence in human nature. If those excellencies don't actually exist, nothing but the chains of despotism will protect man from another man.
Talking with Dr. Jeremiah Regan, his recent doctoral dissertation on the manly virtues and citizenship in the early American Republic. Now, you use the phrase manly virtues in that title as opposed to, say, just
virtue. What would you say the qualities of manly, adding to the concept of moral excellence? What does that entail?
These are the virtues that are characteristic of men, and by that I just mean literally male, adult, human beings. They are virtues that involve fighting, building, exertion, that courage, vigilance, perseverance, and even the phrase manliness itself. The founders and early Americans frequently used the word manly or manliness to describe the type of character that a free citizen needed to have. So, in short, these are virtues that apply primarily to male citizens.
How did the founders and our early leaders inculcate these virtues into the citizenry? And then for many years afterwards, how was it passed down?
Yeah, in ordinary ways, through education, through religious instruction, through custom, honor and shame, these qualities were honored and the lack of these qualities was shamed. And also through laws. The founders and early Americans were, in a way, citizen sovereigns, and their elected representatives passed laws of which they approved that required them to perform citizen duties, like training and being prepared to serve in the militia, like assisting law enforcement in upholding the law. So these laws told the citizens what they needed to do and had requirements for them that they had to fulfill, and in that way educated and cultivated them towards moral excellence, including these manly virtues.
You mentioned a little bit ago citizen participation in law enforcement, upholding the law. Can you elaborate a bit more on what that looked like?
In the early American Republic, there were very few professional law enforcement officers. There was no municipal police like we have here in Hillsdale. We have the city police. That didn't exist until the mid-1800s. There would usually be a sheriff who was elected by the people, and he would maybe have a deputy. There would maybe be a constable, but in a county, there would generally be only a handful of elected law enforcement officials. That was sufficient for basic law enforcement functions, delivering warrants, and stuff like that. But when a problem got out of hand, when there was a serious criminal threat, perhaps there was a gang that was operating in the area or a murderer that needed to be found, the sheriff would call on the citizens of the county to assist him in putting down a riot, capturing the murderer or the thief or the rapist. And these citizens would grab their muskets, grab their packs, which they had because they were required to serve in the militia, and they were also trained, and they would go and help the sheriff perform his duties.
Talking with Dr. Jeremiah Regan, his doctoral dissertation, The Manly Virtues and Citizenship in the Early American Republic. Did you get to a point in your research in which things shifted or changed? Have we in some ways lost these virtues?
Yes, unfortunately we have. Now, I'll issue a caveat. Many individuals still possess these virtues. I just had the chance to do a cold plunge in a frozen mountain lake with some former military men who are honorable, godly men, and they possess these virtues in spades. So they still exist. Modern American government is designed to fulfill many of the duties that citizens were previously responsible to fulfill.
Do you think that there's a desire to return to some of these virtues that were found more prevalent in the early days of the Republic, or have we shifted too far away from that original vision?
I think there is an appetite to return to the older way of life. I think that the promise that modern government makes has demonstrated itself to be false to many people, and I think you see it in small communities like Hillsdale and many others, in which people are starting to raise chickens or get some animals and be a little bit less dependent on the grocery store, to exercise and make better choices about what they eat so their bodies are healthier and they are more self-sufficient and they're happier. You see people arming themselves and taking self-defense classes so that they can be an asset to their community, so they can defend themselves and their family and loved ones. So I do think there's an appetite to return to this older idea of human excellence and citizenship, and to reject the modern view that you can't do these things yourself, you need an expert to do them for you. The early Americans didn't believe that, and I think there's many people today who don't believe that and are reasserting their citizen virtues and recalling the older way of life, which is a good thing.
As you look at your research into the early American Republic and these virtues and the citizenship required of Americans, is there a particular avatar or example that you picture when you look back at those times?
There's so many great examples, many of whom people are familiar with: George Washington, Andrew Jackson, the citizens of Kentucky. There's a striking tale about them tracking down a serial killer, two serial killer brothers, actually. They killed one in attempting to capture him and brought the other one in for regular jury trial and sentencing, after which he was hung. That's the Harp brothers. But perhaps my favorite example is Daniel Boone. Everyone knows about Daniel Boone, mm-hmm. and I'll admit that I kind of looked at him as a redneck folk hero. And he is that. He was a great trailblazer and hunter, and he's admirable in a common sense way. But he was also an ardent patriot. He sacrificed much of his personal wealth. As he writes in his brief memoirs, he lost two of his beloved sons, his brother, an entire fortune of cattle and horses, all to help spread the blessings of liberty to the frontier. A very remarkable man who epitomized these virtues and employed them for the benefit of, yes, himself and his family, but also his fledgling nation. So my admiration of Daniel Boone grew immensely during my research.
Newly minted Dr. Jeremiah Regan, a recent graduate of Hillsdale's Graduate School of Statesmanship, and his doctoral dissertation on the manly virtues and citizenship in the early American Republic. Dr. Regan, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Victor Davis Hanson. We talked about his essays, American Paralysis and Decline and A Culture in Collapse. Jay Richards, his new book, Fight the Good Fight, and Dr. Jeremiah Regan on the manly virtues in early America. The Radio Free Hillsdale Hour is recorded at the studios of WRFH, the student-run radio station at Hillsdale College. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. The assistant producer of the program is Sam Lair. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertrand, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.